Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Some did well, some didn't do well. Let's start with the famous one, Laodicea. Let's get that out of the way. It says in chapter 3, verse 14, and this has been preached on so many times, I'm sure. It's a powerful message, and I believe one needed for today. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee or vomit thee out of my mouth. And again, if we've been in church, if we've heard anything on Christian radio, we've heard this preached before. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I believe that that is a description, if you want to get mad, of the prosperity message. This church, and obviously John living in the first century, does this church exist anymore or not? I don't know. But certainly the description pretty well fits the prosperity message. Some of these brilliant people, preachers would have you, they don't pray when they get sick. They say that if they admit that they are sick, their back hurts or they have cancer, then that's a lack of faith. So they don't pray asking God to heal them. They just confess their way out of whatever illness. I'm sorry, I don't know anybody that's confessed their way out of cancer. The Bible says that we should give. We should give in offerings. We should give tithes. When we see somebody suffering or hungry, we should give. The message of the prosperity movement is to give to the preacher or give to the ministry or to sow a seed in this ministry, etc. I can't stand that phrase. Please don't sow any seeds in the Joey Kelly's ministry. I don't want it. I don't want it because you will not get a 100-fold return if you give to me. Hear me. If you give to me, give because you know that I preach the truth. Give to me because you know that I go perhaps to some place that you don't want to be caught dead in to preach salvation in Haiti or some other place. Preach because you know I, as best I can, cling to sound doctrine. And I want to see lost people saved. And I want to see errant Christians rebuked and then put back on the right path. Amen. Don't give because you want a 100-fold blessing. Don't Amen. Give because you want money back. God is not a slot machine.
That's right.
Because you're neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You make me sick, Jesus said. Verse 20. This is interesting that he's speaking to his own church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm outside of your church. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Outside. Not the place Christ ought to be. In my notes, I took the time to list what good things each church had done, what bad things each church had done, then whatever exhortation Christ gave. This church has no good qualities. There's nothing that they do or did that Jesus mentioned was good. He couldn't find any goodness in this church. The only thing I can see good, it says in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." The only thing he found good in them was the fact that he loved them. They did nothing for the kingdom of God. These hirelings that we have on TV, and I don't have to call their name, you know who the hirelings are. You know who those preachers are that preach for money. God loves them. Jude says that we should pray for them and try to pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. But their ministry is of zero good to the Lord. But he says in verse 18, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." There is true righteousness, and it's very simple to have. It's to preach Jesus Christ and to hold him up and lift him up and say to the people, "Look at Christ and live." Because the only life we have is through Christ. The only righteousness we have, the only riches we have, are the ones that we die to receive.
Amen.
If your treasures are in this earth or your bank account, you don't have anything.
Amen.
But there were some churches that did very well. Smyrna. He says, "I see your good works, your tribulation, your poverty, yet you're rich," he says. And he says that he sees, and I'm not reading, I'm just summarizing. He says that he sees that they suffered the blasphemy of perhaps the Judaizers or people teaching things that were wrong. They lived in poverty, many of them, but they had riches in heaven. They had riches in heaven. I've told it from this pulpit. The day that I got saved, Jesus set me free from drug addiction. And the next morning I woke up, opened my eyes, instantly awake, and thought, was it a dream? Was it real? Because I found something, or I think I did yesterday, and I sure hope it's real. And instantly the peace of God flooded into my heart. And I was so happy, so relieved. And I got up, and I guess I was a good Pentecostal even then, because I was jumping and shouting, "Hey, thank God I'm saved. Praise God I'm saved."
Praise the Lord.
The Church of Philadelphia, Christ said that they had an open door to minister. An open door. In other places in Scripture, it mentions that the door is open. And Christ is the door. He said, "I am the door."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
"Come in through me," he said. But he said, "I've set before you an open door." In other words, go preach my word. Go win souls.
Right.
Go tell others about me. And this church, they did very well. They tried to preach the gospel. And it says that they had a little strength and had not denied the name of Jesus. But just like Smyrna, Jesus had not one bad thing to say about them. I'm sure that they had things that they had done wrong. But they were so inconsequential and so much covered by the blood that Jesus mentioned nothing wrong in that church, Philadelphia, nor Smyrna. But Sardis, let's look at Sardis. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write," and then again he identifies himself. But he says, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." I could name several denominations and you would say, yep, that's right. They have a name that they livest, but Jesus says they're dead. We've got all these programs and this and that and all of these things, and y'all come and we have a difference and this and that. But there's no life. There's no spirit. Christ himself says, and art dead.
That's right.
He says in verse 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." This is a strong word. And again, this is God come in the flesh. Again, resurrected, I understand that. But this is God himself speaking to his church.
Yes.
He says, "I know thy works."
Mm-hmm.
You have a name. Everybody knows about you. You say good things about yourself and what have you. You promote yourself, but you're dead. And you have a little bit that isn't dead yet, but it's going to die. What an indictment. But he says, repent. He says to look to him again and turn to him. The fifth church I would like to look at is Ephesus. That's the first one here in chapter 2. In verse 2, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love."
Yes. Yep.
It's, and then they had a number of things that Jesus was very proud of them about. They had suffered, they had done this, and they had tried false apostles, and they had done all of these things, but they lost sight of Christ.
Yes.
They were doing his work, no question.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost sight of Christ.
Yeah.
Sometimes we miss the forest for the trees. We don't understand that there's a great forest because all we can see are these big trees.
That's right.
But Christ, we should look to him. Because the only reason why we suffer for his name is because of the person of Christ. But it says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." He listed a bunch of works, but the first work is look to him, depend upon him.
That's right.
Fellowship with him, get to know him. "Else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent."
Mm-hmm.
Now when he greeted them, it says under the church of Ephesus, right? "These saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." But he says, if you don't turn back to me, I'll come and I'll take your candlestick out of its place. The candlestick, if you look in the Old Testament, in the temple of Moses, the only light in the holy place was from this seven golden candlestick. And that candlestick represented Christ. The only light in this world, and I've preached it on the radio many times, the only light is Christ. The only true message, the only true book, the only true holy book is the Holy Bible. Amen. The only true message is the message that Jesus saves.
That's right.
If you have something else, you don't have light from God. You're walking in darkness. Pergamos. He says, I know your works and I know where you're at. I know that you've not denied the faith in the face of martyrdom. But he said, I have something against you. He said that there's Balaam in your midst. We know, I believe it's in Numbers chapter 22, if I'm not mistaken. Balaam gave counsel that if an evil king wanted to fight against and defeat Israel, the best way to do it was not with swords, but with immorality, idolatry, etc. Another thing that Jesus had against them was that the Nicolaitans were in their midst. The Nicolaitans were those that the word defined means above the laity. The preachers that think that they are above those in the congregation. Obviously that's wrong, but then you get the congregation to think that's normal, and that's terrible. But chapter 2, verse 18, and unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, and then he goes on to, again to identify himself. But he says, I know thy works and thy charity and thy service and thy faith and thy patience and thy works, all these things, good things. And it says, and the last is to be more than the first. You're doing good now, you're going to do better later, it says. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest this woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. In Pergamos, they were allowing false teaching, and the kind of teaching that seduces and corrupts. But Jezebel is horrible. Horrible. Very dangerous. Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Pergamos had a little bit wrong in their midst, a little bit false doctrine that they put up with. But Thyatira, they were wholesale. They allowed false teachers to come in and preach whatever they wanted. And he uses Jezebel as a symbol, but that's what he's trying to say, is that there's false teaching that's run amok. They did a few good things, but this false teaching, he says, has just simply got to go. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And then the language gets rough, because Jesus thinks that this situation is serious. He says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Again, false doctrine is a big deal. A little bit is a big deal, but this church, Thyatira, they said anything goes. Whatever you want to come and teach, brother, come on and teach. Going back to some of the people in the prosperity movement, the big deal is to get a revelation, which is the same revelation that everybody else gets, but to get a revelation from God that you ought to believe in seed faith or this or that. Everybody has a new revelation. Paul mentioned, what is it? And every time I come to church, everybody's got a new revelation. I'm glad that God speaks to His children. But we need to be careful to do what Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, that they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no life in them, no light in them. But the language he uses, talking about Jezebel and seducing and fornication, spiritual fornication. Yes, sexuality too, I understand that. But ultimately, it talks about spiritual fornication.
Yes.
And to eat things sacrificed to idols. I guess I could teach you a whole month on the radio about idolatry. And perhaps I will at some point, but I think Christians, we're not careful enough to say, well, this is something good from the Lord, but this other thing we need to leave alone.
Yes.
But look at verse 23. If they won't repent of allowing false doctrine in their churches, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the hearts and reins. And I will give every one of you according to your works. I'm looking for my reward. I understand that. I'm looking to walk on streets of gold. But it says, I will kill her children with death. And you've sat in churches and allowed false doctrine to be preached left and right, and you know it's wrong. And you willingly come up and take money out of your wallet, and while the preacher's preaching, you throw money on the altar. I'll judge every one of you according to your works. You know you're wrong, Jesus said. And you're going to get what you deserve, he said. I'll judge you according to your works. But he says in verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. I don't know what your situation is if you're listening to me, but if you stand right before God, if you try the best you can to obey the Bible and to do right, and you may know of false teaching over here or somebody doing something wrong over there, but if you keep yourself holy before God and say, Lord, I want to live for you and I don't want to do wrong, I don't want to go to the left or the right, then God, it says, I will put none other burden upon you. God will help you. God will strengthen you. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over nations. Imagine that. We get to rule in the new kingdom. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, or slivers or something, shards, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Remember, Christ is the bright and morning star. He's referencing himself and saying, you can partake with me. And to close, verse 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Christ addressed these seven churches that lived during the first century. But I believe if we look during the entire 2,000 years of Christendom, you can see that probably this church or that church through the ages did something similar to what some of these churches have done. You can look at the great revivals in the past, maybe the Great Awakening, and you may see, if you look hard enough, Philadelphia, the one who had the open door to preach the gospel. You may see after World War II, I've written about this and spoken about it, that the Germans went everywhere in the world. They went in the jungles of Africa. They went in the jungles of New Guinea. New Guinea, they're still discovering Stone Age tribes. I think it was in 1991 or whatever the date was, just 10, 20 years ago, or I don't know the exact date. They found a tribe. They had no clothes. All they had was fire and no clothes, and that's it. They were Stone Age people. The Germans went through there. And the Allies went through there fighting the Germans, and they discovered all these different tribes. And right after World War II, we did our best to go everywhere that we found these people to minister to them. And that's our job. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got churches that are infested with false doctrine. But be wise, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for an opportunity to haltingly and probably do a pitiful job, but I'm thankful to preach your word. Please touch the people. Please bless them. Please care for them. And please that the Spirit would gently correct them tonight or next month or something when they do wrong, and help them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to say that if God has touched your heart about anything, whatever it may be, I think that Christians should trust in the Lord and depend upon Him and bring their burdens to Him. So I don't want you to come to me or shake my hand or anything like that, but if God has touched your heart, or if there's something you've been troubled about, come to the altar and kneel and what have you, and ask God to help you.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.